Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday, we've got a huge doubleheader on Fox. First, the 49ers take on the Giants or other regional action. Then Dak and Zeke lead the Cowboys against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in America's Game of the Week. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. And make sure you get your Super 6 picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $250,000. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Colin, give us your winner and final score for Cowboys-Seahawks.
That's the tough one. Yeah, it'll be high scoring. 34-27 Seattle. Neither team has a pass rush. It's hard to be a good defense with no pass rush. Raiders, I like them, but they have no pass rush. And it's amazing how good your secondary looks when you have a pass rush. It's amazing right. how good your corners get when they got to cover for 2.7 seconds, not 4.3. PJ Fleck is a remarkable young coach. And you get this about every decade. You'll find one or two of these young guys, and then they're buried in the Midwest, and all of a sudden they go to the Big Ten. You're like, who's that guy? And Minnesota did not have a long history of being dramatic college football, and then PJ Fleck arrived, and they got good fast and exciting fast. And now... Now college football has thrown a big curve to all these coaches. As the season starts in a month, they haven't hit yet. They're trying to get, you know, the cheap testing in so they can test all their players and get immediate results. And PJ Fleck, the hot young college football coach, one of the really interesting, fascinating guys in this sport, joins us. Fourth year at Minnesota, 23-15. So let's, you know, it's funny. When I watch you, you got a lot of energy. You are just jumping through my television set. And I think to myself, who is this guy's mentor? Who is his idol? Who was your guy? Were you a Bo? Were you a Woody? Where did you get the inspiration? Who, when you get to a dark time in your life and you know that you lose a recruit, you lose a game, who do you go back to? Who's PJ Fleck's mentor in this stuff?
That's a great question, Colin. Well, first of all, you got to know that I was an elementary school teacher and have an elementary education degree before I even got into professional football and then obviously get into coaching. But it really dates back to a few guys. Jim Tressel's really the guy that first took a chance on me. And I was a GA at Ohio State during the 2006 run where we lost to Florida in the national championship. And I still remember going through that year going, boy, this coaching thing is not that hard. I mean, you show up, first year coaching, you're undefeated, you play in the game of the century, you win, and then you go get beat by Florida. But there were so many lessons Coach Tressel taught me of how to care for the complete person in this profession, not just the football player, but academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually. And then when you look at Mike Nolan, who was my head coach when I played for the San Francisco 49ers, who also thought that I should be able to get into coaching. And if it wasn't for those two guys, I wouldn't be where I am today. And then Greg Schiano kind of helped me with college and in the pros. And here we are today.
You know, one of the reasons, I don't know much about COVID. I wear a mask. But the one thing I said that I was rooting for college football is there is no Joe Burrow if he didn't play last year. He probably goes undrafted. That you often recruit young men who come from tough environments. You can literally change their life. And if we would not have played college football, let's be honest, after about 20 guys, PJ, in the first round of the draft, most of these guys played their way into getting drafted in the second, third, fourth round. You literally can change lives. And there was a point a month ago, we didn't know 3 weeks ago we were going to have Big Ten football. How was it landing for you that you want to be respectful to COVID and the dangers of it, but no football, there's a lot of kids that need it.
Well, there's a lot of kids that need it. You know, this is their way to be able to, one, get an education paid for, one, get a bachelor's, sometimes get a master's. We have some kids getting their doctorate degree that if it wasn't for football, they wouldn't have those opportunities. But we've stressed to our team, we're a proactive football team, not a reactive football team. This isn't about just because COVID-19 came up. You have to have contingency plans upon contingency plans in all areas of these young people's lives. I mean, here they are, the one normal thing they've all had in their life, that they all been able to schedule their whole life around was football. Then football was taken away from them. They left us for 3-4 months. And then you get them all back together. You're playing, you're not playing, you're playing, you're not playing. And by the way, there's a national pandemic going on with testing and everything else that we have. So it really is. I'm really thankful that we do have football back in the mix, but I'm even more thankful because it's a safe environment for our young people to be in as they continue to play football and go towards their dreams of playing in the National Football League as well or in the professional world.
You're two-time MAC-10, MAC Coach of the Year, Big Ten Coach of the Year, and this is not meant I'm asking this respectfully because you're an unbelievable coach, but have you ever looked across the sideline as a young coach and thought, I'm coaching against Urban Meyer. I'm coaching against Jim Harbaugh. You know, a guy that was in the Super Bowl. Have you ever had one of those moments as a young coach and thought, I am in the Big Ten. I'm on national television. I mean, 6 years ago, PJ, that may have been a dream. You're living a life a young coach mostly never gets to.
Well, I am living my dream. I tell our team that all the time and our staff. My job as a coach is to make everybody else's dreams come true because mine has already come true. I don't come from a long line of lineage of coaches. My dad killed bugs for a living. My mom's a teacher's aide. We had no coaching in our background. It was all about education. My sister's a kindergarten teacher. My mom was a special education assistant. And I got into the elementary school teaching, really ancient Rome on that side is where I have a specialty. So when you start to think about how I got started and where I was, I'm incredibly thankful for everything that I've been able to get. But I've looked across in the MAC, looking at Frank Solich. These people had no idea probably who I even was at 31, 32 years old in the MAC, getting a chance to coach against Urban Meyer when I was at Western Michigan. And even when we get to Minnesota, you're across from James Franklin, who I think is one of the best coaches in America. You get a chance to be against Gus Malzahn and the Outback Bowl and be able to coach against those guys. And for someone who comes not from the coaching tree of so many others, I take a lot of pride into who raised me in the profession. You know, I wear a tie on the sideline, not for me, not to be looked at, but because Mike Nolan wore a tie on the sideline, who's one of my biggest influences, and then Jim Tressel wore a tie on the sideline, who's my biggest influences. And it's my way to be able to thank every single person who made me me, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in the position that I am. And they put me in those positions. And I think not even just looking across the sideline. I remember when I was at GA at Ohio State looking next to me and seeing Jim Tressel saying, I'm actually on this guy's staff. It's always been fun. I'm very appreciative for where I am. And I have an amazing staff around me that are able to make the success possible at times.
So it's interesting. And I had said, I remember years and years. I mean, I'm dating myself, but I remember when Urban Meyer went to Utah. And Oregon, he beat Oregon and Cal, Utah did. And Oregon was pretty good. They had Mike Bellotti. They were winning games. And I remember telling my friends, I said, I don't know who this guy is with a different name, but that dude can coach. He's got two-star players, and he's beating people with three- and four-star players. So you have now twice gone into a program and very quickly turned it around. And this is really a business question as much as it is a football question. So when you go into a culture – like Minnesota football that didn't have, you know, that's not Alabama. Give me two things. How do you turn around a business that doesn't have a winning culture? And not only did you do it, you did it quickly.
Yeah, two things. One, you never sacrifice what you really want down the road for what you want immediately right now. That's very difficult to do in our profession. We've won where we've been because we've done it with a lot of high school players. We've played and have been in year twos of programs where we're the youngest team in America, but it was necessary to have the success down the road. And the second thing is you win with people, period. We don't get all the 4-star, 5-stars. I think in the Auburn game, they had 54 stars and we had 5. but we call ourselves Howe University. And it's the Howe of a person that makes them really special. It's their heart. It's their spirit. It's their unconquerable will. It's their crack on the shoulder, not just a little chip. It's finding a way to constantly give your people an advantage, being proactive, and really getting yourself around a really positive environment where you can find a way to be able to grow in that environment every single day, fail, grow, and want to come back the next day to do it all over again. So that's what we've been able to do, but people is the biggest thing. We have incredible people inside our organization We have an incredible culture with our row the boat culture, our never give up mantra. And again, it might be a little bit different. It might be maybe not what everybody does, but it's our way. And it's the only way I know. And we're really happy with where we're at and where our program's headed as well.
PJ Fleck, Minnesota football coach. By the way, you said your dad killed bugs. Give me a little more on that. What's that story there?
Terminix. He was a Terminix man. He went there and made sure you didn't have all those creepy crawlers in the house. He worked for AT&T prior to that, too. So he did a lot of things. He's a hardworking man, blue collar.
I love that. I love your story. I think your energy's infectious. You're incredibly easy to root for. Okay, folks, their season starts. They're hosting Michigan. That's about 30 days from now, right? At home against Michigan in 30 days. They were 11-2 last year. They beat Auburn in the Outback Bowl. Love it. So easy to root for. PJ, congrats to you. Continued success to you and your staff and your kids.
Callum, appreciate it, man. Row the boat, Sky Imago Gophers. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Is that guy easy to root for or what? How fun is that?
That was great.
Oh, my gosh. Dad's an exterminator. Get those losses and those bugs out. Boom. There you go. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Carson Wentz has been getting a lot of criticism for how he's playing.
Yeah, should. Yeah.
This season so far.
Yeah.
But he says he's still confident in himself and the Eagles going forward.
Let me hear this.
It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to kind of be a little ticked off. But, you know, you watch the tape and you move on. And so for me, it's another week. It's on to the next one. And, I'm as confident in myself and this team as I've ever been. I don't waver, and I don't see this team, this locker room waver.
Hat on backwards. Not a big fan. Did not like that. You want to look like a frat boy, or you want to be an NFL franchise quarterback? Turn that thing around.
That
looks so frat boy to me. You're Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles. This is a $4 billion franchise. What, are you going golfing at the public course with your buddy Shanky McShankster? Going to have Schlitz on the back nine? Are you a franchise quarterback, or are you going to go, or you want to drink Busch Light? What do you want to be?
I just snorted.
What? Am I wrong?
No, I just, funny, because I didn't pick up on that he has his hat on backwards.
Okay,
I was about to defend him.
The face of the franchise.
And now I still am. They're 0-2, and look, he was sacked 8 times in week 1. Obviously, I did not see them losing that game. Washington came out and played amazing, at least on the defensive side of the ball. He's 58.8 completion percentage, 512 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 64.4 passing grading. He's not playing great.
Nick Foles wore his hat on forwards.
Oh.
Nick Foles. Always puts his hat on forwards. Nick Foles has a Super Bowl. Carson Wentz doesn't. He's going golfing on a public course.
I think people are overreacting to the Eagles. So far this year, it's 2 weeks. They're in a... not a great division. They get this thing back on track. According to Colin, it's going to start returning your hat.
Somebody
around the
give me a baseball hat. So one of our people get me a baseball hat. I'll make a point later in the show.
Okay.
Franchise quarterback.
No. This is your thing. I don't think it's that deep, but that's, you pick up on that right away. So we've got a huge Monday night game. We've got a great weekend of football.
Unbelievable.
Some really good games. But Monday night, Ravens and Chiefs, and Harbaugh is not shying away from the hype surrounding this matchup.
Who wouldn't get excited for a game like this? When you're playing a team that is the defending champs, the favorites to win the whole thing again going forward, the type of players they have, the coaches they have, the head coach, Coach Reed, you're going to get excited about it. And it's not something that we downplay. We don't ignore it. We try to embrace it. And make the most of it.
So Lamar, 23 years old, Mahomes, 25 years old, represent the first head-to-head matchup in NFL history between two former MVPs, 25 or younger.
Can't wait. Can't love Baltimore, can't wait.
This is going to be a good game.
Yeah.
There's some great games this weekend. You have Raiders and Patriots, Rams, Bills, 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
Cowboys, Seahawks.
You have Packers, Saints.
Breeze, Rodgers.
Washington and Browns.
Interesting. Big game for Baker. Got 10 days prep. Got to win that game.
Yeah. Bengals and Eagles. Are the Eagles going to get back on track? This is a great, great weekend of football. So the 2020 NFL season has gotten off to a hot start. More points and more touchdowns have been scored through the first 2 weeks of the season than any other in NFL history. Teams have scored a total of 1,611 points, which breaks the previous record of 1,556 points from 2012. And there's been 186 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks, which surpasses the record set in 2018 of 174. So a significant uptick in offense. There's also been some surprise players. Gardner Minshew.
Unbelievably good.
Cam Newton.
Shocking.
Joe Burrow.
Way better than I thought.
Ryan Tannehill.
Whatever.
70.1 completion percentage, 488 yards, 6 touchdowns through 2 weeks.
Justin Herbert was shocking.
Justin Herbert?
5 minutes, you're starting. I didn't get any first-team reps. That's a you problem. Boom.
Man, if I'm Tyrod Taylor, I'm...
Yeah, that's another story in itself.
That's really rough. But yeah, the offensive side... It's kind of interesting, though, when I saw this story, and you mentioned earlier, like, no one watches for defense... I love big defensive plays. Like, I'm, you know, my brother's a Hall of Fame defensive player. I like good defensive battle, but I'm with you. It's better for the audience to watch.
Well, you play fantasy football, you want your guys to score.
I play lots of fantasy football. I have 3 leagues. It's not doing so great, but it's kind of, I don't want this to become too much of a trend where we get into some of the, like, it gets a little college football.
Well, no, we don't want to do CFL football. Right, we don't want to be, like, Saskatchewan against the Ottawa.
Yeah. I don't think it's trending that way, but it is interesting that this is happening.
Yeah. September football, the weather's perfect. November, you get wind, rain.
It'll balance out.
All comes down. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
Dead serious. Don't want my franchise quarterback, his one time a week he meets with media, hat on backwards. It's a $4 billion franchise. You're the CEO of it. Nick Foles looked like an NFL franchise quarterback. Not, but it looked like it. Wentz has all the talent. Look at that.
Hey, you guys, I got to play dial up in the sand here.
That's not what you're supposed to look like. And I like that kid. I'm like the biggest Carson Wentz defender. Howie Roseman, the GM, needs to go to him and have a sit down. It's my knock on Tony Romo. Defended Tony Romo for 7 years on the other network. 7 years I defend. By the way, Dak Prescott. I've seen him twice with a hat forward. Yep, I just decided I like Dak more than Romo. All right, Tony Boselli, all-time great left tackle. Jags tonight. Are they going to play their way out of Trevor Lawrence? Miami, when are we going to see Tua? Tony's great. He's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
To tell you how great a football player our next guest is, Tony Boselli played for only 7 years in the NFL, cut short by injuries. He still made the all-decade team of the 90s. I can't think of any player in the last 25 years. He was a 5-time Pro Bowler. Many believe he had the chance to be one of the great left tackles, like the greatest of all time. Had some injuries. Number one pick by Jacksonville, right? He was their first great player. He now does the Jags radio stuff, and he's going to join us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Beautiful Jacksonville. All right, let's start with this. So you guys were going to get the number one pick and get Trevor Lawrence, and then Gardner Minshew had to screw it up and win a bunch of games. And I watched Gardner Minshew, Tony, and I'm like, Greg Cosell came on my show and said, that's a franchise quarterback. So when was the first moment you thought to yourself, Gardner Minshew, this is a starting quarterback in the league?
Well, I mean, I think you look at last year as a rookie, came in after 11 plays of Nick Foles getting hurt, and you're like, my goodness, this kid hasn't even practiced barely, and he's moving the ball up and down the field. And you look at the numbers as a rookie, won 6 games more than any other rookie quarterback. You look at his touchdown interception ratio, and it wasn't like he had a ton of talent, you know, a leaky offensive line last year. So they made the call, Colin. They're going to go with him. And it's the big question here, too. Is he the guy? Is he the franchise quarterback of the future? So much was made of the tanking. I don't think many people here felt like that was the case, at least within the organization. But he still has 14 games. And I think right now, early returns, is he's the guy. I think the only question you have is the arm talent. You know, how much arm strength does he have? Can he drive it down the field consistently? But he's smart. He's poised. He's magnetic in the locker room as far as a leader. The guys want to play for him. So he has a lot of the traits to be the guy.
Listen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow have looked great. You guys face the Dolphins tonight. If you were on that coaching staff in Miami, Ryan Fitzpatrick does a good job. He's a respectable pro. Let's say Miami loses tonight. Do you go to Tua? What's your kind of theory on when do you go to Tua?
So what I'm about to say is I'm assuming he's healthy. I'm assuming the hip's 100% and there's no risk of future injury there, you know, what happened in Alabama last year. I'm not sure why they're not going with him right now. Is Miami going to go to the playoffs? Are they fighting to be a Super Bowl contender? I don't think so. Looking at the tape, looking at the roster and kind of how they're rebuilding it, why wouldn't you go with Tua right now and find out what you have and find out if he's the guy you believe he is and the reason you made him a high first-round pick? So Ryan Fitzpatrick has had a great career, puts up big numbers, but I don't think anyone is confusing him with the answer long-term in Miami. They have the guy on the roster. I'm always one for it. Get him on the field. That's how you learn. And he either is going to be able to do it or not.
You know, it's interesting. Gardner Minshew's playing well, but you guys appear too good to have a number one or number two pick. Your offense is too good. You're going to win 4, 5, 6 games or more. I look at your schedule. You got Detroit coming up. You're going to win some games. The Jets and the Giants are different. They have young quarterbacks like Jacksonville, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, but they're horrible. So the Trevor Lawrence thing is, you know, as a Pac-12 guy, John Elway came out. You were just going to take him. If you needed a quarterback or not, you were going to take Elway. Andrew Luck was that good. If you would Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, if you're a bad team and get number one, what do you do with the Trevor Lawrence situation? I mean, is he that good that you'd move off a guy after 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think, first of all, in New York and for the Jets, you better figure out the head coaching situation first, because you have to put a guy like Sam Darnold in. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to have any more success than Sam Darnold is, based on what they've surrounded him and the chaos that they have in that organization. The Giants are different. I think if you're the Giants and you get the number one overall pick, you just leverage it to the hilt and get as many picks as you possibly can, because I think it's too early to give up on Daniel Jones. You know, he had a little too many turnovers early in his career, but by the look of it, the eye test, kind of how he handles himself, I still think he has a chance. But it's going to be a tough decision, because to your point, a lot of people think, now it'll be interesting because of this COVID shortened season, and we'll see what we get out of college football this year. Will the feelings of Trevor Lawrence being the guy, like the can't miss John Elway type of player, still be there if we don't get a full picture of him this year?
Are you surprised? I never bought into preseason, Tony. I always said colleges are 18-year-old kids and they don't have practice games and they look great. Last year, Oregon-Auburn, week one, Bo Nix was a freshman quarterback. He looked fine to me. Do you think the preseason's done in the NFL with how good the offenses have been with no preseason?
Well, I think part of the offense is being so good. I mean, I think you see a lot of sloppy defense. I mean, the offense is being good is a couple things, Colin. Number one, the rules are set up for offensive football. It's different than any other time since I've been alive watching football, and it's progressed that way over the last several years. So you're going to see offense, and you should see offense based on the rules. I think you're also seeing pretty sloppy defense, tackling, but poor angles and everything else. But going back to your question about preseason, I still think there's a need for it from the standpoint of evaluation of your roster, in especially the back end of it. I don't think you need four. I could argue you could talk me out of even having two, but I think one preseason game just to kind of give the coaches, the GMs, to evaluate the roster, to get things put together, even if you don't play those starters, I think there's some value to that. But I think preseason has changed forever with what we've seen this year, the start of the season.
Can you imagine had you played to be 43 years old? Are you shocked by Brady, or do you get it? I mean, what do you make of him playing at 43?
Well, number one, I'll go back to the rules. Because the way the game is played today and the rules of protecting the quarterback, I think you can play longer. He's not taking the abuse the guys took a generation ago, where you're getting hit, you know, a bunch of times in the pocket. You're not really protected as a runner even when you're outside the pocket, which you are today. And so I think that lends a lot to it. Plus the science and the nutrition, the way guys are taking care of themselves, that position more than any other, I think, has the opportunity to do that and to lengthen the careers the way the game's played now.
Yeah. Tony Boselli, it's Jags, Miami Dolphins tonight. Gardner Minshew against Ryan Fitzpatrick. You look happy. You look healthy. I love when you come on the show. And if we can just get Pac-12 football as a former Trojan to figure it out, I'll be in a good mood.
Yeah, everyone else in the country's figured out, Colin, but somehow the West Coast can't get their act together. But you know what? Listen, I live in the South now. We're playing football, high school football, college football. We're moving forward full speed ahead, right or wrong. And so there's plenty of football down here in the South.
Good seeing you, Tony. Thanks for coming on.
Colin, thanks for having me.
You bet. He's a Jags football analyst. Made the all-90s decade team. Played 7 years. That's a pretty good indication. By the way, I was saying this. I like Carson Wentz, and I know you young guys are just all yelling at me today. This gets you worked up, and that kind of like makes me laugh that it gets you worked up on this whole backwards hat thing. Like, if you want to clean your garage out and do it, like, I don't give a rip. I mean, if you're raking the yard, you're cleaning the garage out, you're playing with your kids. I'm just saying, as a franchise quarterback, when you hit the podium, look like a franchise quarterback. I got to read a spot here. CarShield.com, check engine light comes on, don't freak out. Go to CarShield.com, code HURDLE. I'll give you an example. First of all, you should wear it forward because it protects your eyes. Isn't that why you wear it? But let me just ask you. Let's say twice a year the Eagles ask Carson Wentz to meet with advertisers and suite holders. That's sure. What teams do. Hi, I'm Carson Wentz. It's nice to meet you, sir. Oh, you run Chevron. It's nice to meet you, sir. You run Geico Insurance. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Carson Wentz. Oh, Bank of America CEO. It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. Thank you. My name is Carson Wentz. Thank you. Or,
hey! So me and the boys had beers last week. I'm the quarterback. What you got here? Bank of America. I've never been to a bank.
You tell me there's not a difference between this look as a franchise quarterback and this look. I've seen, our current president, I've seen presidents wear their hat like that.
Yeah, he's not wearing that backwards.
But wait, you've seen CEOs in America wear their hat like this.
Right. Well,
yeah, I'm a Fortune 500 company. Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't even count to 400. But I go get rental clubs, and I'm Captain Shanky McShankster. And me and my boys go out and drink Schlitz Light, and I run a big company. What does that look like to you?
I will give it
to
you.
Tell me I'm wrong.
It looks and sounds crazy.
Tell me I'm wrong on that.
I mean, listen, it's your theory. I don't give as much credence to the seriousness
of it. Do you think look the part?
I definitely believe that you should dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to wear a tuxedo.
No, that would.
I'm not asking you to wear a tie.
Feel like a bit much.
This way, not that way. It's not a big ask. I'm not asking for a tuxedo here. I'm not asking for a Bentley. I'm not asking for a butler. I'm just like, don't look like a frat boy if you run a $4 billion franchise. Matt Patricia wore it backwards once. What did I say?
Nope.
You look like an idiot. Next week he had it forward. Why? The power of Uncle Colin. I'm out of here. We're out of here. It's the Herd.